Karun about it.
Hello from the other side. Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Motorcycle fan. I have had my own motorcycles, but they have to be really short because I'm short. And if I have to be on my tiptoes at a stop, I lay it down. But we are talking about how much safer it is to ride motorcycles on a track. And we have here something called Ride Smart that will take a brand new person, never been on a bike before, and we'll slowly get them into racing, a novice, intermediate, expert, et cetera. And it's so much safer. Mm-hmm. My husband has a suit that when he almost crashes, it blows up like an airbag, basically. And the only time he's ever gotten hurt is when he was just trying out stuff in regular gear and no helmet, which is an idiot. Anyway,
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, you can just slide around like a hockey puck. But if you are, you know, driving on the freeway, et cetera, I mean, one of the best racer friends of his, you know, there was a 4x4 in the exit lane for a highway. Boom. And he died. Even though he just, you know, had all the stuff on. So I really recommend that nobody rides on the road. You have to deal with other people. Whereas racers, they go the same direction as you do, around and around, clockwise or counterclockwise.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, we are not here to talk about this. I'm sorry. I'm just, you know, I want
my husband
to be
happy.
I want
we
Rob
keep talking
to
about motorcycles.
Yeah. Anyway, but no, we are here to talk about our wonderful guest, D.P. Thompson. She has got a new amazing book, Where Does Lulu Go? And it's just a perfect book for children, for all children to read. And, of course, we have Michelle Gray from thehealingh-art.com, who, of course, we all love. And D.P. Thompson, take it away. Mic drop.
Yeah. hello, everybody. Nice to be back. Thank you so much for having me. I feel so honored to be back here again. It's great to hear your voice, Mama Bear, and, you know,
thank
Michelle,
you.
You're just unbelievably awesome. And, and Eric, let's not forget the main star. Sorry?
He is not going to let you forget.
No. No, the main man of the show is Eric, Archangel Eric, and, you know, sending lots of love out to him, and because of him, all of this is happening, and Michelle, of course, and Mama Bear, of course. So, yeah, we cannot not say hello to Eric, because
he says hello. He's cutting in and saying, hello, hello, and he's like, I love you. He says, I love you, Mom. Love you, Dee.
I love you so much.
Yes. We have to get our love yous back and forth now and get that out of the way because it's so important, you know, to always acknowledge Eric right from the start, and he'll pop in and out, I'm sure. So anyways, yeah, it is really, really great to be here. For those listening, it's about children today. That's what the book was designed for. And also for parents a little bit, you know, and child-parent communication, just to make it a little bit better. So you might want to go and get a pen and paper because I might just say something or we might say something today that, you know, the penny drops and goes, oh, that's why my child is doing that, or that's what she meant, or, you know. So any way to take notes would be a good idea. I don't know where I'm getting that from, but I think it's being downloaded to me. So I'm just the messenger saying, get a pen and paper.
I'm
going to do that. First of all, write
yeah,
down the,
okay,
name of the,
so,
the title of the book. Where Does Lulu Go? Is that available on Amazon, I guess?
Yes, it is. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Friesen Press.
Great.
.com. Yes, right. Yes, it is. The hardcover, softcover ebook. Yeah.
Tell us how this book evolved. How did you think about writing this? I mean, just tell us from the beginning your journey to the publication of that book.
Wow. Okay. So as I was, like most angels, they go through some very terrible ordeals. And I was in a very lost, dark place. And long story short, and I just, all of a sudden, it just went boom. It just popped into my head. And all I heard was, I'm going to write a book. And I thought, I'm out of my mind now. I'm losing my mind. This is ridiculous. You know, I've never taken a writing course or anything. No, no, no. You're going to write a book, and you're going to write it for children, and it's going to help them, because think of your childhood, how you know, you could have used something like this. And all this was coming to me, just coming to me. So I typed not too fast, not too slow. I typed like 60 words a minute or so. And once I was told the character's name is Lulu, don't ask me. It's a knowing. I didn't really hear a voice, but I kind of did, but I didn't. I don't know how to explain it. And I was told even I'm not allowed to spell it capital L-U-L-U. It has to be capital L-U, capital L-U. I was even told how I had to spell it. Yes. And she's going to be 7 years old. Okay. So I just took it off from there. So next thing I know, I've got Word 365 in front of me and the computer, like the laptop, and I'm just, I could not type fast enough. It was just coming to me. And before I knew it, 10 chapters were done. I was on to the sequel, 5 chapters, and I just had this, I just had to put this, I don't know how to explain it. I had to stop myself, and it was really hard. I had to stop it because I said to myself, I've got to get the first book out. What am I doing? You know?
Yeah.
So yeah, 5 chapters of the sequel just came pouring out of me, and the sequel is off the rails, but we won't go there yet.
Amazing.
We'll talk about Bridge One first, which is book one. And and then I didn't know where any of this was coming from, but it was such a good feeling because I knew that I was going to be helpful to the world,
yes,
to others, especially our little people, you know? And so I thought, this is just great. And it was just such an amazing feeling. So I didn't question it. I just kept on going. And before I knew it, I said, oh, my God, I've got a 10-chapter book right here. And I think it was 2 months I wrote it. Yeah, just 2 months, and boom, it was there. Oh,
good
2 months. No, that was there, plus the five chapters of the sequel. So it went really, really fast, and it just kept being downloaded. And then it never occurred to me that Eric might be involved. And suddenly, you know, I'm around the 7th chapter. I was at the 6th chapter, sorry. And Eric started coming in. And I thought, oh, my God, really? So I thought, okay, I better email Elisa and ask her if this is okay. You know,
of course it is.
And,
I said,
and but you never know, you know, and you want to ask, you know, this is a sensitive situation, and I wanted to be respectful. And had it been something that would have upset you, I would have said, Eric, sorry, you got to wait, man, or you got to go somewhere else. But Elisa said, yeah, sure, put him in there. He wants in there, put him in there. So he took over. He just took over. It was really something. And so, you know, we've got Eric the teacher in there, and then he's, because it is a teaching book, and I've got teacher in my soul. And so it's just
typical archangel.
Pardon me?
Typical of
an
archangel. It's very typical of an archangel to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But can we pause?
All right.
And I want to ask you, I want to ask Eric something. Eric, who channeled this book to her? And, of course, it's more, it can be more than one person. Any famous authors? I mean,
oh.
One of her relatives?
Wow, good question.
Yeah, Eric says some of it's coming, well, he says it's coming through her higher self. So a lot of it is coming through the higher self. And there's also, there's a, see if I can say this right. There's an Egyptian, T-H-O-T-H. Yes. Yes.
Oh,
oh my God, that would make sense.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's
wow.
A heavy hitter right there.
Oh my God. Oh, my God, that's huge. Michelle and I were just talking about, I just said to you, I feel this huge, huge Egyptian connection, and I know that I'm some sort of queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just said that to Michelle about 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Wow.
That's okay. Pretty cool.
Okay.
And what Eric says is that he says there's a connection, like you have a soul connection there, like another fractal of you, another lifetime. And what he's saying is that that energy, so thought or toast, invoiced to write and inspire. And so so he says a mixture of your higher self, and Eric says, and me.
Oh, oh yes, of course. Oh, yes, you know. But can I just ask, is I'm seeing like, have I got the wrong face or type of head, Michelle? I'm getting bird head.
Yes, that is what I see, yes.
Okay, so he showed himself to me a few times.
Now, I wouldn't doubt that, yes. And Eric says yes because you are connected to him. He says that you've worked with him, like, he's saying, like, teachings. He says learning and teaching with him is what you've done.
With who?
Okay.
With Eric? With Eric or with Thoth?
With
Thoth.
Yes. With Thoth,
okay.
Yes.
Got
so
it.
Is that him, Michelle, in the picture that I have, the beak, the big eyes and the beak, the bird beak, and there's a being floating in front going across the sky?
Hang on, let me ask Eric. Yes. Yeah. Says yes.
That's,
wow.
That's him. That's what I saw. Oh, yes. Elisa, I got to send this to you. You can see his eyes so clearly. He looks so serious. Oh, my God.
Oh, my
he
God.
Looks so serious.
This
anyway,
is amazing.
Yes,
I mean,
I know.
It's amazing, the images. It's the bird, you know, beak and all that stuff. That's so cool. Well,
yes,
I'll read
yes.
that later.
Well, get. Yes. So anyway, that's mind-blowing, and I'm in shock, so I'm going to try and keep a head on my shoulders. And that being said, if I can just say something about, you know, the different types of children. So we've got our indigos, right, if I may go into this. And
yes, please.
So any parent out there, okay, so any parent out there that is wondering about their child's behavior, the teachers might be complaining, school might be a problem, doctors are saying ADD, ADHD, and all that stuff. So you could have an indigo child. And they're very empathic, extremely curious, and they're very strong-willed. So if that is kind of like your child, you could possibly help yourself and your child by looking up more information on indigo children. And the reason why they came in 1978 to the Earth, and they have an indigo, which is blue, violet, violet, blue mix. It's gorgeous.
Right.
Frequency,
right. Oh,
which our frequencies are our auras. So it was scientifically proven that, you know, nearly every kid that they did a test on with the ADD and ADHD, they had this indigo blue aura that they use with those special cameras that, that can photograph auras.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
And that's their...
Yes.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's their frequencies. So that's... And to get your head around how these different children are, and if it's a little bit too far-fetched for you and it's the first time you're hearing this, just think of a horoscope. So you come in with your horoscope, your horoscope sign. You just you come
right.
in with a frequency as well, and that's how to pretty much get your head around it. They're quite psychic, and apparently they're born awake. So
well, what's interesting about
their
the whole
third
concept,
eye?
Well, what's interesting about people coming in with higher frequencies? This is very typical of Earth angels. They have to come in with a much higher frequency than normal because they put so much crap on their plate so that they can learn and become better light workers.
Yep.
You know? So, yeah. So that makes sense.
Oh, yes. I feel like I've lived 20 lifetimes already. Yeah. So their third eye is really, really open. And that's what I have to say about maybe indigo children. So I'm hoping that, you know, that's just the tip of the iceberg there. So I hope that some help for some parents.
What type of child is this book most meant for? Are you saying it's meant mostly for indigos?
No, I'm not finished yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm not there yet.
All
no.
right.
Basically... Yeah, so I was going to go over to the, it's for all children, by the way, but I was going to go over to the crystals. I think they were next, but Michelle, you can correct me if I'm wrong ever, because, you know, don't take my word for it. So they're usually late talkers, and they develop things later than the average. So parents seem to be a little bit concerned when they have a child that, you know, is of a certain age and they figure they should be walking by now or they should be talking by now. That is a sign of a, obviously it could be anything, but it's a sign for crystal children. Very, very common among crystal children.
Eric, what were you? Eric, I'm sorry to interrupt. What kind of child were you? Indigo, rainbow, crystal, something else?
Eric says, you know, there are some kids that have a mixture because Eric says he's a bit of a mixture between an indigo and a crystal child. He
no,
said,
I'm talking about Eric. Eric in particular.
Yeah,
what were you, Eric?
Yeah,
that's
Eric
what I got.
Eric said he was a mixture. He wasn't.
Oh.
He wasn't just one. He had indigo and crystal.
Yes.
Yeah, I was
going
to get there.
Long time. He took a long time to talk and develop, and we thought it was because he had older siblings that anticipated his needs. So that's quite interesting. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He said, Eric is just saying that part of that, and he's actually saying that because he's pointing out my son, because he says that my son, Marcus, is very much like a crystal child as well, and he says that there's a lot of a lot of frequency that's up in the head, up in the crown area. And so what he's saying is that there's a lot of the energy is up there and not in the throat or the need to express. That there's a lot going on in the top. He says that very dominant in the crown chakra, like very dominant in the upper chakras. And so he says that affects the speaking.
Well, that makes sense because they're incredibly sensitive because they have the ability to feel universal consciousness.
Yes.
Whoa.
So, yes.
That's
yeah, they're
amazing.
Very, they're, yeah, way up there. And so they're huggers. They'll just go up to anybody. They'll hug and hug and hug everything, every animal. Because everything's one to them still at a very young age.
Oh, how sweet.
That so if sense. You notice, yeah, and I think they came in around the 80s to 2000 was quite heavy. Yeah, for them, everything is connected. So yeah, that was, and it's so funny, Elisa, that you asked that about Eric, because as soon as you asked it, I got mixed. That's all I heard was mixed.
That's cool.
And
I
like Michelle
see that.
Said mixed.
Very
oh,
cool.
Well, it's Eric we're talking about. He'd have to be mixed. Yeah. I mean, definitely. Oh my goodness. And then next we have our rainbow children.
Yes.
So the rainbow children, they've got like a really strong willpower. And it's their first incarnation, so they have no karma to deal with.
What? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
That's yeah, rainbow children. So, Elisa, I think you have a granddaughter that has come straight off of Source.
That's right, Arlene. So she's a rainbow. Yeah, that's cool.
That's
okay.
Right. Yeah, they come straight off of Source. They've got, it's their very first incarnation. And yeah, so they're usually born into fully functioning families that have less drama than the average, or you know, not something too bad,
okay.
So that they can focus on their tasks unhindered, you know.
Is their purpose? What
their purpose?
Yes.
Oh, I'm getting there.
I know the indigos
you must
break down the old, right? Break down the old crap. And the other rainbow crystal, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
Helping rebuild it or something?
Well, that's three times now, Elisa, that you're just one step ahead of me. So you must be channeling something. They're usually born into, you know, less drama, so they can focus on their tasks. And they're in total alignment with spirit, so they're extremely psychic, and they are here to raise the vibration in a very, very, very big way, and they vibrate higher than anyone.
Wow.
Their vibration is higher than any, the rainbow. Yes.
Mm.
So... what also, another reason why, getting back to your question of why I wanted to write this book, it wasn't so much I was just told to write the book, but then it was like, well, inside of me, I was feeling very strongly, what would I have wanted when I was very young? I'm talking before the age of 7, you know, when all those years, and around 7 and 8 when things got really, really tough for me. And I was always alone. I was adopted into a family that basically didn't want me. And I was just always, always alone. And I have sense spirit. I would sense beings. And I was afraid. I was very afraid. I had nobody to talk to about it. And then we had to bury my cat into the rose garden. And when she died, and I couldn't handle that. My sensitivity level is through the roof. So as a child, it was really, really hard. So the tears, it just, I really would have just loved a friend, or loved to not be sitting in the corner shaking every time they turned out the lights and it was time to go to sleep and I was up all night. You know, I was just so afraid of everything. And I would have loved a book of explanation, at least, if they would have just gave me a book, you know. So I know that I'm not the only child that's going to go through this, or has gone through it, or is going through this, and feeling all these different beings and realms, right? There's no explanation for anything. So in this book, what I want to do, number one, first and foremost, is take away fear. So children being afraid of bedtime, or even if it's not so much fear, some of them are still uncomfortable. And the parents are like, oh, well, just let them sleep in my bed for tonight, you know, and our bed for tonight, and he'll grow out of it. Or, you know, but there's more to it than that. So I want bedtime to be, you know, something to look forward to, not to say, oh, no, can I stay up another 5 minutes? And it's not to be, like, I found it strange. I thought it was the weirdest thing, and I still find it a bit strange that humans sleep. So, whenever I'm
eating
a baby sleeping.
I love sleeping.
Oh, me too. Me too. When I was younger, I did it maybe at one point, but I can, like, Dee, when you're talking, like, I remember being on my hands and knees and crawling from my bedroom into my parents' bedroom because I didn't want them to know that I was crawling in there. I was so terrified and didn't want them to send me back to my room.
Oh.
And I would see shadows moving back and forth, and I would see them standing in front of my closet, and I was terrified.
Yeah, closet. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So it's not nice, and because most of the time they just want to be there for you, and you know, it could be something we contracted before we even incarnated, you know. So it's just nice, I think, at a young age to start at a young age and take away the fear. Start taking away the fear of the unknown, the fear of feeling other beings or seeing other beings or being in other realms. And that is what this book does. So there's the fear, which helps with the onto anxiety. So at the beginning of each chapter, there's breathing exercises. And it's proper breathing from the diaphragm, not from your chest. So when the children are lying down in the bed, they're learning this kind of breathing. And Lulu starts every chapter breathing from 10, and she counts backwards, and she's running to the grass. And it just, you know, they get their unicorns, and they go off, and they have a really good time. So the breathing exercises is very calming. So I wanted something that could be, you know, helpful in that way as well, because I can remember hyperventilating, you know, from being so scared.
Yeah.
And, the closet is the worst for me. So,
yeah.
And the closet in the basement. I think, Michelle, you and I have that in common.
Yeah.
So,
I was terrified of somebody grabbing my ankles as I was running up the stairs.
Oh, me too.
Oh, my God. Me too.
Yeah,
and the worst thing is I would never go upstairs that were hollow.
Yeah.
You know, like the back wasn't on them.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. And that scared the living daylights out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, that's another thing the book does. So it's just calming because, you know, until the age of 7, all the children are highly connected to everything else, other realms, source energy, spirits, the spirit world. And, you know, so things happen, and they say things to their parents, and parents are blowing it off. So
Give an example.
Yes, I can.
Or not? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Because the book does it. It's all throughout the book. Lulu's mother is totally oblivious. You know, she wakes up every morning and she remembers her astral traveling. And she starts telling her mom about it, and her mother's got a time management problem, so she's always late. So she's rustling through Lulu's drawers to get her clothes, to get her dressed for school. And Lulu's in another world still, and she's going, I was at the animal park, and I saw Mrs. Tutu, your cat mummy, and da-da-da-da-da. And she's like, that's nice, dear. You have to hurry up. We're going to be late. You know, that's nice, dear. Put this on. And yes, I love to remember my cat, and that's nice of you to remember her, dear. Let's go now, you know. And but Lulu was there; she was with the cat, and literally, because she astral traveled and she remembered it. And so, because you know, I think on the last radio show I said, you know, parents, please, if your child says I'm having tea with grandma. You know, and grandma died 30 years before the child born.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, you know, please believe the child and encourage the child. Because you can ask the child, what's grandma wearing? And you're going to get some, what's the word I'm looking for, some confirmation there.
Yeah.
You know, and you can learn. You can really learn from children. It's incredible, the children that are here now. You can really, really, really learn from them. So it does also teach in the book about the astral travel. Oh, was that a good enough example, Elisa, or should I give another?
Oh, no, whatever you want.
Okay, so it's just, yeah, just if they say something like, I have an imaginary friend, or I have a friend, don't think it's
their
imagination.
Did,
or
sure. Yes. Yeah, one of my kids did. Riri Coslin was the name of Michelle's imaginary friend.
Cool.
And we let her have it.
Oh,
like, okay,
that's so
awesome.
Cute.
You want to invite Riri to dinner, you know? And I think you have to do that because this Riri Coslin, it ended up being one of her guides. So you never know. Or it could be like just somebody they met on astral traveling to another dimension, et cetera. There's so many possibilities.
That's so exactly, true. Exactly. And, you know, if they say they're seeing somebody or they're seeing an animal or something like that, you know, it's nice to encourage them because, you know, first of all, it's great communication between parent and child. And the parent will learn because, you know, the parent's not at that level anymore. It's taken away after age 7 or 8. Depending on the person. So, you know, you get a good connection there and you can really learn a lot. And it's nice, it's fun, and it's a better understanding of your child to just not blow off if they, you know, children will draw their playmates that they see.
Yeah.
And some parents will just say, oh, what an imagination you've got. But it's not imagination. And this book is not imagination at all either. So... she's not dreaming. The mother thinks she's about her dreams, but she's talking about her astral traveling because Lulu is born with this gift that she can remember everything. And she's shocked that nobody else remembers. And, she does.
Yeah.
She takes you each chapter to a different mystical, magical world and other realms. And then there's lessons to be learned in the book as well. It's not just a self-help book. It's a teaching book. Yeah, so, you know, that we don't die, only our bodies do. So when I had to put my cat into the rose garden, I was so devastated. I couldn't understand. Nobody bothered to really teach it to me or anything. So, you know, when they're not dead, you know, they're just up in heaven and, you know, and it's really important for kids to understand death a little bit more because, they're going to be seeing the dead ones. They're going to be seeing people on the other side of the veil and animals on the other side of the veil. So it's nice. It has that teaching moment in there for animals as well. And I think I pretty much covered quite a bit of it, what it does, this book. It is a lot to it. Now, it's 168 pages. Which is not your average size of a child. Yeah, the children's books are usually 30 to 50 pages.
Right, but this
so
is for parents.
It's got a lot.
Yes.
Sorry?
Now, how to find your unicorn. Can you talk to us about the significance of the magical unicorn? You know, all my grandkids love unicorns, okay? They love them, at least the girl ones. The girls do.
Well, okay. So the unicorn came to me. And thank God it's you I'm talking to because I wouldn't be able to say that out on the street to just the average person. And so that's why his... yeah. So, and I was told his name was Sparkle. And that's it. And I have two pictures of him, but one of the pictures of him that's very clear with his head and the horn and his eye came through the sky in a sky photo, and that's why it's in the back of the book.
Right.
So I have put some of my sky photography, my spirit photography, as I am a spirit photographer. And I put that in the back of the book, and he's very clear through the clouds. So the face of the unicorn that's drawn by the illustrator is exactly copied from the face coming through the cloud. So he actually has three diamonds on his face. So the diamond on his nose,
yes.
the diamond down near his mouth, and the diamond beside his eye are there. And that's exactly traced. And that's the shape of his head and everything that's there on the book. It's just traced. That's all it is. It's not a the illustrator didn't come up with that unicorn. And, of course,
no.
Lulu, that's a picture of me when I was a kid.
I see. So Ori.
That's actually my dress.
Ori Schaubald. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Schaubald.
The illustrator. Great job,
yes.
by the way.
Yes.
Cool.
I feel very bad about it because the phenomenon that happened to me is that I can sketch people suddenly from the other side of the veil, but
yes.
I can't draw. So I thought when it first happened to me, oh my God, I can draw. You know,
yeah.
It's nothing's changed. I can't draw. And it's so, I hate that feeling. I want to pick up a pencil or a pen or a crayon or something.
Oh.
My entire life I want to be able to draw like other people, and I cannot draw. And it's just so,
Eric,
it makes me angry.
Yeah, maybe Eric can share. What's going on there?
Well, Eric is saying is he says part of that was this part of your contract in helping you discover your ability to be able to channel. And he also says that part of it is also a block. He says that you're carrying a block there because he says, let's break down how you said it. I've always wanted to draw. I'm not able to draw. And he says, you can channel. And he says, look at what you've created. Look at what you've been able to create with channeling. He says, you think that that really just goes away. He says it's part of the brain that believes that that's not so, that you're not able to. So he says it is a block. He says if you start to go into the same space, he says using the same space that you go into when you're channeling, you'll be able to do that. He says it'll take you a little practice because he says it's a different part of your brain that you're using.
Wow.
He says the creative part of the brain is the same side that we channel.
Right. Oh, yeah. It's almost like I feel like...
Oh, heavy.
I feel like it's like, all right, I've made these amazing drawings. That must be a flute. And then it drops out.
Mm.
It's very strange. And I just did one not long ago for a woman's son because she was just really, you know, it's, I don't have to tell you, Elisa, it's just awful for parents to lose a child. And she lost her son. And, you know, for privacy's sake, I'm allowed to talk about my experience with him, but no name. So he was in my house, and I knew that because he had tried to pet my one cat and knocked the cat off the tree. And there's no way for the cat to fall down because there's a high ledge. So what happened was he had startled the cat, and then he actually tried to catch the cat when she was falling. So that was very strange, trying to fall asleep one night. And I knew right away someone was in my room because I just knew it. And like a mama bear, I went screaming and swearing and get away from my cat because I didn't know it was him. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, and when I was sketching him, he came through very, very, very fast. He was the fastest I had ever done because one of these sketches has taken me 7 months. And so anyways, he came through, he was done in less than 7 weeks, and that was the fastest ever. And he kept telling me he wanted it done for the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of his passing for his mom.
Oh.
And then when I was shading the pencil sideways, a whole bunch of, like just for the background, because there was just blank background. And all these little cartoon characters came up. So I would, you know, I don't ask anything. I don't want to know anything when I get an order, and and people want this from me. So I don't want to know because I want to first and foremost respect spirit, because I don't know how they're feeling about what they want me to know when they were here, because it's really none of my business. And so I say, please don't tell me anything. But when they want to reach out, they do, and they pressure me, and they say, you know, like, kind of tell my mom that I'm doodling with you. So I said to her, you know, what's going on with the doodling? And she said he used to doodle. He was an artist. And I said, okay, so some of his art is on here. And then he first had me the picture of the cap is backwards. The baseball cap is backwards, clearly.
Okay.
But he had me draw it. He had me draw it frontwards to the side. And not until the very last minute did I realize, what's wrong with this picture? I'm finished it, but what's wrong with it? I'm like, oh, my God, the cap's on backwards. So she said that he often wore the cap to that side. And then he loves cats, and she still has his cat. And there was there was a bunch of through and connect with me, and it's just it was the most awesome experience, because this guy is so beautiful inside and out. He's just so beautiful, and so he wanted. I'll tell you this, and you're going to get goosebumps. He kept telling me gold, gold, gold. And I knew right away he wanted the frame in gold. But at first I was confused, because I thought, listen, you got a silver chain on in this picture here, dude, you know?
Yeah.
I'm really not getting the gold thing. So I let it go, and he was hounding me again about it. And I usually wait till about the third time, and then I say, okay, I'm going to ask your mom. So I said to her in a text message, what's up with the gold? What's he on about gold, gold, gold? He just keeps saying gold, gold, gold. Anyways, apparently, she didn't get it and didn't get it. So he's framed in gold, anyways, up on her wall, and he's very large, and his eyes are coming through, and she's feeling him immensely, you know. And she's it's really helped her, and everything's working out fine. And all of a sudden, I think maybe a month after she had it, she said that was the last thing that he expressed to her was gold. You are gold to me. Gold, gold, gold.
Oh, wow. So do you plan on taking new orders for illustrations of loved ones?
Yes. We all know what it's like to lose someone, and it's so hard.
Yeah.
And some of us handle it better than others. And I'm taking anyone, a first-come, first-served basis. They can contact me on the website and through the emails.
Look,
and you know,
and on your website, do you have
it's
examples?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Good.
They are there. DeesWorldPrints.com. So it's D-E-S Prints.
Yeah.
D-E-E-S. Print with an S .com. DeesWorldPrints.com. Sorry.
We'll have it in the description box too. We'll have all the information everybody can see.
I do the portrait that I connect with. If you send 1, 2, 3 pictures, I get told by them which picture they want, and then I end up connecting with it, and we go from there. And I walk a very fine, difficult line, because I have to make it look like them, right, and look like the portrait.
Yeah.
At the same time, they want a little bit of things changed, and they're telling me change this, change that, but their eyes through from the other side of the veil. Yeah, the eyes are different always, because the eyes are here and now. The eyes are not from the picture, which is mind-blowing, and how they come through. So, and I've noticed these pictures, they are happier. They're more peaceful than the actual portrait when the portrait was taken. And I was blown away by this last one, because he picked the blackest photo. So when you go on the website, you're going to see that his photo is so black. And I'm thinking, how on earth? I've got black eyes. How on earth is anything going to come through? And it's like it was an outer body experience. I was just gone, and it was done. Yeah. And so much color. So many colors in there. Oh, so that's how I help. Sorry?
Yeah, is there anything else that
go ahead,
you
Lisa?
Would like to share? Is there anything else you'd like to share before we take callers? Because we got a lot of them.
Okay. Just very quickly, also on my website, okay, so I mentioned spirit photography. People that are having a hard time believing in heaven or other realms, you know, go on there and look at the stairs to heaven.
Yeah.
Because the stairs to heaven are as clear as it gets. That is an untouched picture. I was out walking. I had been by the river. I had been praying. And I walked across the street. I was in front of the supermarket. And I just got told point and click. And I saw nothing. And when I got home, when I sat down and I thought, I'll go through my pictures, my mouth just dropped open and I just stared at it. I couldn't believe it. I must have been staring at it 5-10 minutes easily. Yeah.
Wow.
They're real.
That's
stairs
cool.
To heaven. Untouched, nothing touched at all. So I would just, you know, and energies, as you know, with scalar energy and all that, pictures hold energy. So I just think that every house should have a picture of real stairs to heaven. That positive energy, just incredible.
Absolutely.
I don't know. That's it. That's it. Yep. That's be done.
That's awesome.
All right. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right.
The book is beautiful colors.
Yeah. Eric, is there anything else you want to share about D.B. Thompson and her work?
He just says, I love you. He says he's really proud of you. Just commenting how, this is a real journey in the making, and he's commending you for how hard you've worked. And so he's just letting everybody know. And he says, everyone listening has an idea or has something in their heart that they really want to do. And he says, really listen to Dee's story and know that she really had this in her heart. And this is something that she put a lot of will and a lot of trust into. And he says, and it's really amazing. So he's just reminding all of you that there's always something that each one of us had in our heart that you know, we may think is not possible or we may not know how it's going to work out. But she says she hopes this gives you all some inspiration and he's just real proud. He's just saying congratulations. He thinks that it's great, and he's really happy to see another book out there for kids or something that parents and kids can have, because Eric's real passionate about kids.
He has always
been. Yes, and I thank him so much and tell him, I just love him so much. He knows how much I love him. It's just, there are no human words. There are no words. And thank you so much. And thanks for taking over.
Oh,
no, but he actually took me by the hand. I say it in the beginning of the book. He took me by the hand.
Oh,
yeah, I saw
that
too. It's beautiful. All right, we got somebody from the 412 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, how are you, Elisa?
I'm
hi,
fine. How are you?
I'm not good, but Lori from Presto. Mm-hmm. I lost my son, Jacob, in May. And hard time. I miss him so much. And first and foremost, I find myself asking over and over, why? And Jacob was kind. He was funny. He was smart. And handsome, and so many people loved him, and he suffered so terribly with this leukemia and then eventually died. And is there a reason why?
Yes,
and
that's
had to go
very
that.
Important to know. Why, Eric, or Jacob, if you want to, you know, add something. Why have to die?
All right, hang on here.
Jacob, last initial N.
Yes.
Well, okay. Jacob is here with Eric.
Okay.
the very first thing he's doing is he's reaching his hand out to you, like just to hold your hand, and he just letting you know, like, Mom, I'm here. It's most that I'm here, and he wants to talk about touching your face, about the little feelings you're feeling on your face, because he wants to let you know that he's touching your face, so he says it's not a hair. It's like, not anything like that. It's me, and he's touching you.
Okay.
What he's saying is that the lifetimes that we have here, and this is something that he wants you to understand, that he's explaining from that spiritual purpose, because he said, Mom, there's nothing that I can tell you from the human part of me, the human part of you, that is really going to make sense to your heart, that's really going to explain why I'm gone. And he wants to let you know that it's okay. That it's okay that you feel that. Because,
but it's not okay for us.
It's not. And that's what he's saying. He's not trying to give a reason and to make you be okay with it right now. Because it's not about that. And he says that part of what you feel is you're looking for that reason. And so he says, I don't want to give you an answer as to this is why it's happening and that's going to make it okay. But what he is going to tell you is that his life here, he says, you're right, Mom, my life here on earth wasn't easy. He said that he's talking about having a lot of gratitude for his life, because he says, even though my life was cut short, humanly cut short, there was a lot of gifts that he had. And he's talking about his family, his relationships, and all the things. He says people, the connections, the things that he had. And he says that means the most to him. And he says, my life was cut short as a human being, but he says, as my soul, he says, my life was rich. My life was rich. And he also talks about his parents. He talks about you guys, his family.
Yeah.
Not all kids come into this world with parents like you. Not all kids come into this world to experience that kind of love. And so he wants to let you know that that was chosen. He chose that. He chose you to be his parents. He chose you to go through this. This was an experience that was part of, he says, his cycle. Part of his cycle. And he says, although he feels happiness, like relief right now, he knows that you don't. And he says, like his mom, I'm not telling you to be okay with it. What I'm telling you is to trust that you're going to feel better.
Okay. It's his dad's birthday today, and he's here. So I was wondering if he had a message for his father today on his birthday.
Okay, hang on a second here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, this is Jacob's dad. Just wondering if he has a message for him.
He says, hi, Dad. He says, hi, Dad. He thinks you're real courageous. He says you have a lot of courage, and he shows you as being like a knight, like having a lot of courage. Jacob is very, he's very tangible with like animals, like coming in animals. So did you see something today or right before today? Did you have a bird or something, like a small animal, come across your path?
Well, yeah, I've seen some like a little bunny or rabbits around the.
So many animals.
Around on my way to work, this wild one.
Okay, well, what he's saying is that he's not that animal. He's not saying that, but he's talking about having courage and new beginnings, and him showing himself to you with animals, like with nature. And so he's telling you to keep your eyes open for that, because he walks with you. And the other thing is, too, do you drive a truck?
No.
Truck? Okay, he's showing himself sitting in a pickup truck. Does somebody have a pickup truck, or did he want one or something?
No, no, but I always wanted to get one.
Okay, well, he shows himself sitting in a pickup truck, and he's got a great big old smile, like he's real happy. So I don't think he's thinking if you're going to get one, he's going to be riding with you or something. But he keeps telling you to have courage, and he's showing me this pickup truck. So keep that in mind as we go forward in the next few days, because Jacob is showing himself in everything to you. And it's real hard right now. It's hard to see all that stuff because it hurts so much. But he wants to let you know. He says, keep looking for me. Keep looking for me in everything. There's something real significant about that truck, because he wants to tell you that on your birthday. So there's something significant there.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you guys for calling.
Thank you. I have one more question. Does Jacob see my parents?
We have so many callers.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. No.
That's okay. I'll just call back next week.
All right. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Oh, I always hate to cut people off, but we have like 50 plus. It's really hard, especially when somebody's grieving. So I feel so bad.
I know.
All right.
That's awful.
Got somebody from the 262 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi. My name's Michelle. I was wondering if Eric could tell me, what am I? Am I an earth angel, or
what's
what
your
am
last
I?
Name? And where are you
D.
calling from?
Wisconsin.
Michelle D.
Yep.
And from where?
Wisconsin.
All right.
Michelle, what Eric says is actually, he says, yes, you are an earth angel, but he's calling you a celestial. He says you're an earth angel and starseed.
Okay.
You're a little bit of both.
Okay.
He says a lot of it has very similar things, but he said you do have origins on other planets. The Pleiades being one that really stands out. But he says the loneliness that you feel at times, just that segregation, he says that's actually more of your starseed nature than the earth angel, but you do have both within you. Are you searching for your purpose right now, he says?
Yes.
If you're, looking for what your purpose is, because he says, hold on, keep going. He wants to let you know, you're going to get more information and more is going to come to you. So he says, persevere. Keep going forward. Keep going forward because there's going to be more answers come to you. He says, you're meant to be here. He goes, I know you don't have all the pieces fitting together right now, but he says, keep going because it's coming to you.
Okay,
that's
great.
Special.
Yes. Thank you.
It is.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care. That's pretty cool. Earth Angel and Starseed and Pleiades. That's awesome. All right, guys, I think we need to close it up because we have enough time to take another caller. I'm so sorry. And I'm going to be out of town next Tuesday, so we will not have a radio show next Tuesday, but then we're going to be good. You guys check out DB Thompson. We'll put her website in the description box, and of course Michelle Gray at thehealingh-art.com. I love you guys all, and thank you DP for being such an awesome guest, and of course Michelle, thank you so much for having me. Love you, Eric. Lots of love to you.
Many blessings. Love you both. Love you everybody. Love you Eric. Love you.
Good night.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.